Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. You may have heard of running a marathon, but have you ever heard of running a complete marathon while juggling? Jesse Joyner is one of the few people in the world to ever achieve that feat. He's also juggled a running chainsaw while managing to keep his toes, fingers, and limbs. In 1999, Jesse started a juggling ministry that taught the message of the gospel, reaching vast audiences of all ages. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to, well, really do what Jesse does, bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know, dear friend, that God loves you. Yes, and he loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, dear one, calls you to himself. Our question, will you turn to Jesus? Will you open your heart and receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Jesse Joyner graduated from Taylor University and Asbury Theological Seminary. He's working on his PhD at Trinity International University. He served as the president of the Christian Jugglers Association and also held memberships with the International Jugglers Association, the Fellowship of Christian Magicians, and the World Clown Association. He's performed in over 30 states and on 3 continents, doing 130 shows per year. He's married to Sarah. They have 2 daughters. Jesse, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Danny.
Jesse, where did you grow up?
So I was born in Massachusetts. Well, my father was a seminary student himself at Gordon-Conwell Seminary. And then we moved to Virginia when I was about 4 or 5. And then we moved up to Pennsylvania when I was about 8. And then we moved back to Virginia. So I have one of those lives where I moved around a lot as a kid, following my dad's ministry posts along the way. So I'm generally an East Coast kid.
Almost like the Lord was preparing you for traveling in your career, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Who influenced you most, Jesse, in your growing up years?
I mean, back to my father, he always has been a wonderful father, and his wife and children, and he always had a passion for teaching God's word rightly and digging deep into the scriptures and teaching it well to people in a way that they can understand, but also doing it deeply and thoughtfully. And so he's always been that model for me that I aspire to in my life, and it's really inspired me and influenced me in my ministry today.
So growing up in a Christian home, was there a time when, or a moment of distinction when your faith became clear and personal, your relationship with God?
Yes. So growing up as a pastor's kid, it has its challenges, of course, because you live a life of always being at church whenever the church doors open. And all the families that attend the church, they expect you to be the nicest kid and the best kid, and the kid follows all the rules just because you're the pastor's kid. And so I enjoyed that for a time, always being seen as a good kid on the outside, but it started to wear on me because I started to have to put on a show. I had to act good on the outside. But as I grew into my years of understanding right from wrong, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, I'm starting to be more independent in my thinking in life. That's when I started to have this crisis where I understood that I was, you know, sinning as a person. I was spending time with the wrong kinds of friends. I was starting to disobey my parents. You know, like I had this rebellion within, but on the outside, I would go to church and look happy and look good and be a good kid. Even around my other friends, I would be able to put on a good show. But I went to a youth retreat when I was 13 years old, and I saw a preacher who preached about, you know, God made you, God loves you, he died on the cross for you, but you need to come to him and confess that you are a sinner and receive his forgiveness. And I was reluctant to respond. He gave altar call invitations every night at this camp, but I was very reluctant because I didn't want to embarrass myself in front of my friends, right? I'm a pastor, so I'm supposed to be the good kid. But finally, on the last night, he started inviting people down forward. I knew the Holy Spirit was knocking on the door of my heart. I knew that I couldn't just be a Christian just because my dad was a pastor. I needed to step into this faith myself. And as I listened to the preacher, he invited people down. I was still stubborn, and I didn't get up, even though I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me to get up and put my faith in Christ. But then the speaker, the pastor, he said, "There's more people that need to come down front." And he pointed at one girl on one side of the room, and then he pointed at me. Like he called me out specifically and said, "You know, you young man, you need to come down and give your life to Jesus." And he wasn't manipulating me because I knew in my heart that I needed to come down even before he pointed me out. It was almost like God was telling him to just get me down there like a fall experience. Yeah. And so I did. But I went down and I prayed and I confessed my sin and I received Christ's forgiveness, and it was like chains fell off my shoulders. It was like this, almost like a physical feeling I could feel of these spiritual chains falling off of me, like being free from sin and experiencing His forgiveness. And whenever I read the verse, you know, renew unto us, you know, the joy of our salvation, I think about that moment, kind of that joy of initial salvation and now on the journey of sanctification, just asking God to renew me every single day.
Let's take the camera and pan it back. And in a in a moment of reflection from where you are today, looking back, what difference has your relationship with Jesus made in your life?
Wow. So, I mean, in so many ways, Danny. Specifically, it changed the course of my direction in life in terms of what I do for a living and the woman I'm married to and how I father my children and raise our children. It's, Christ changes everything. And so when even though I'm a juggler, I can get into that more in a few minutes, but that's what I do for a living. But because I'm a Christian, I every way that I run the operation that I run, this ministry, I want to do it unto the glory of God. I want to do it with integrity. I want to do it with excellence. I want to do it in such a way that serves other people, the way Christ served us. Whether it was juggling or any other job that I was doing in life, I feel like being a believer in Christ like changes how I view what I do in that regard.
Jesse, thank you for that. I was thinking of the answer when Danny posed it to you, and my answer in my mind was, it's changed everything about me. But I appreciate mm-hmm. all the specific ways you've just listed, because it's so true. So thank you for that.
Jesse, when you think about piggybacking on Suzanne's point or comment here, but
sure.
Let's go a little bit further. Your life as a believer, you talk about the impact on your ministry and the way you operate. Maybe I should say it better that way. But further, what long-term, what's beneath that when you think about developing the ministry God's way and impacting many, many lives, for what? To what point? Where does this lead?
Yeah. So, I'm going to have to go to the Westminster Catechism and say it's also the glory of God. Mm. Foundationally, like underneath everything, it's to make His name famous. It's to tell Him how great He is, and to proclaim that to other people, to help other people see that and pray that God would open their eyes. And again, that affects, this ministry that I do, it affects my family and how I treat my wife, how I treat my children. It affects everything. I want to be a servant of the Lord, and I'm asking daily, what does that look like? How can I do that? How can I love other people the way that you have loved me, God? And he's given me the gift of being able to use juggling and performing arts and teaching. He's given me this set of gifts and skills that I'm able to use in order to move in that direction. That telos, to use a fancy word.
I've had some unique opportunities to see Jesse in action. And it's one of those when you see someone doing what God made them to do, it's like they pull you into the sweet spot of their own life calling. And there's a magnetism to it. There's a grace to it. There's a charisma because of the gifting that is there. And Jesse Joyner, you can find out more about Jesse and his incredible ministry at jessejoyner.com. You say, Danny, how do you spell Joyner? Well, just think about joy. Jesse Joyner, and he is filled with the joy of the Lord. Indeed, when we come back from our break, more from Jesse as he shares, well, as we share in this time, heart to heart with you. I can think of no better way than to just shoot from the heart, as it were. And there's a candidness to it. There's a relatability to it, all anchored in Christ. You know, God has a plan. There's a purpose for you. There's an end game that God has for you, dear friend. Jesse talked about telos. Well, that's sort of what it is. When we come back, Jesse Joyner, more with us. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Jesse Joyner learned how to juggle 3 beanbags from his friend Tim when he was 11 years old. He loved the challenge so much, he got every book he could find from the library about juggling. Now, one day in high school, classmates found out about Jesse. They found out he could juggle and convinced him to perform in the variety show. And, well, in some ways, you could say the rest was history. You can find out more about Jesse. Jesse Joyner, think about joy. The joy of the Lord is his strength. JesseJoyner.com. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of our last segment. Hey, look, you can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this podcast for free. Well, share it with a family member or friend. TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Jesse, what is it about juggling that has captivated you all your life?
That's a good question, Danny. And I wonder about that myself. Why juggling? And all I can think of is that it's a very fascinating childhood hobby. A lot of us as children, we tried out some of those different toys and games, whether it's spin top or a Rubik's Cube or just filling out crossword puzzles, some of these quirky games. And I think juggling can sometimes be categorized in some of those childhood games that we try out as a kid as something neat that might not appear to have a utilitarian purpose to it, but there's something fun about it and there's something attractive about it when you watch somebody do it, because you see these balls flying through the air. It almost looks superhuman. I think that's the attraction of the circus in general. We see people on a tightrope. We see acrobats flying. We see clowns making jokes. We see people riding on horseback while standing up. Some of those things don't really have much of a utilitarian purpose, but they do have a purpose of entertaining people, because we watch these performers. We watch circus performers, and all of us, I think, are inspired to some sort of belief that there's a higher power in the universe, that there is something out there that's bigger and greater and beautiful, even beyond this earth, like superhuman powers. So when you juggle, it's like you have a superhuman power, even though it's our, you know, it's our practice and effort and energy that gets us better at it. So I, like Eric Liddell said, the runner in the Olympics in the early 20th century, he said, when I run, I feel the Lord's pleasure. I feel the same way with juggling. When I throw things in the air, when they're flying through the air and I can, you know, with 5 or 6 rings are above my head and I am keeping them aloft one after another in this beautiful pattern of tossing and catching and tossing and catching in quick succession, I feel the Lord's pleasure. It's like an act of worship for me. And everything in the world around me shuts off. It's this wonderful space that I go into when I juggle that is just so joyful and so wonderful. And even when I mess up, even when I drop and everything falls on the ground, there's something beautiful about the challenge of picking it all up again and trying it again and working on it again and seeing the growth and seeing the improvement over the years of practice.
Now take us further, Jesse. You're in this space. You said it's like an act of worship. Well, it's a sacred space when you're there.
It is.
Now, how do you relate this, what they're seeing, what they're feeling, as you described? There's something supernatural. There's more to life than what's here, and there's something that draws them. How do you relate the gospel of Jesus Christ with your audience?
Sure. Yeah, so for what I just described is kind of my own way of worship personally when I'm juggling alone. When I get in front of an audience, that's happening kind of in the background, of course. It's this act of worship and throwing things up in the air and feeling the Lord's pleasure, if you will. But when I'm in front of an audience, I'm also communicating to them both through the visual movement. movement of the object and through storytelling. So I will do a show, and I put together about a 45-minute show that goes from start to finish. What I do is I cover the big picture story of the Bible. So I talk about creation, I talk about the sin of Adam and Eve, I talk about the resurrection, I talk about the restoration of all things, and I do this bird's eye view of the big picture story of God. And throughout the storytelling, I'm weaving juggling tricks in and out of the storytelling, and as the objects are moving, they help illustrate the part of the story that I'm at. For example, when I call up some volunteers in my show for the Adam and Eve story, I call, you know, a boy and a girl, and I start juggling fruit. And so as I'm juggling the fruit, I'm telling the story of the garden and the tree in the middle, the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then at one point I have Adam and Eve, I have them eat the fruit that I'm juggling. I'll juggle the fruit and then I'll hold out one of the pieces of the fruit and they have to eat the fruit. And then I have them fall down to the ground and lay dead because they spiritually died when they broke the law of God at that point. That's just one example. Later on in the story, I'll use what's called a diabolo or a Chinese yo-yo. And this object is like an oversized butterfly yo-yo that you can toss up and down on a string with two sticks. There's one trick you can do with that where you can make it rise up the string. It looks like an elevator move where the yo-yo is appearing to be defying gravity and climbing up the string. And it's at that point that I talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the yo-yo is rising up. And so I'm using the trick to help be an aid, like a teaching aid, an object lesson, object illustration, as I'm telling the story. And some of these are influenced. I have to give credit to my mentor, David Kane. He is a Christian juggler himself, and he is the yo-yo climbing up the string is his idea. For example, I've been influenced by him. The majority of my show is something I have put together and is kind of become a message that I've created over the years. But I do have to give a shout out to David for that one particular trick. He has really helped me over the years because he's been doing this longer than I have, and he inspired me with the idea of performing with a juggling show and then putting biblical storytelling together with it. Another mentor of mine is named Nathan Doyle. Both of these fellows are great men of God, and they share the gospel using their juggling shows.
When did you discover that you possessed gifts as a performer?
I think it was around the age of 7 or 8. I have a photograph that my parents have kept of me in a stage play that I was a part of as a young child in the local Christian college that my dad taught at, and I'm dressed up in an outfit that looks like a newsboy from the early 1900s, and I have this look on my face. I forget the play, but I was playing the part of this boy in the play, and I forget the play, but I do see in the picture, I see this look on my face of joy and confidence, almost feeling like I've really set my place on the stage. It was a place for me to act and to have fun and perform and to make other people laugh and smile, which is really interesting because in my normal life, day to day, going to school, hanging out with friends, I really was an outcast, a loser, a geek, whatever you want to call it. I wasn't very cool or popular. I wore big glasses. I wasn't very big. I wasn't very good at any of the sports. And so I got pushed around a lot by a lot of the other kids. I was also young for my grade. So all of these factors affected my daily life, where I didn't really have a lot of self-confidence and didn't feel like I had anything I was good at. But when I found the stage and when I found juggling, I found places where I had fun and I enjoyed myself. And so I have to say that I think I found the gift, the thing that God had gifted me with. Everything from performing to singing to dancing. I joined the show choir in high school and did a lot of stage plays and musicals and performances, both at school and at church, because I attended a church that put on big productions for Easter and Christmas as well. So I had many, many years of being on stage in front of thousands of people for many, many performances with crews and casts of hundreds. So the Lord really prepared me for what I am doing now. And I've had so many people that have poured their life into me in terms of raising me up to be a stage performer in that way. Everything from performing to singing to dancing. I joined the show choir in high school and did a lot of stage plays and musicals and performances, both at school and at church, because I attended a church that put on big productions for Easter and Christmas as well. So I had many, many years of being on stage in front of thousands of people for many, many performances with crews and casts of hundreds. So the Lord really prepared me for what I am doing now. And I've had so many people that have poured their life into me in terms of raising me up to be a stage performer in that way.
Well, there's a scripture, isn't there, Suzanne, that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord," Jeremiah 29:11. There's another scripture in the New Testament that talks about God completing the work that he has begun
Philippians,
in
yes.
us. Well, the Lord has brought a significant amount of people, key people, in the life of Jesse Joyner to prepare him in a happy home to live the life that he's living today. As we wrap our show today with Jesse, some parting thoughts.
We hear of multitasking. Well, he is multi-blessed musically. I mean, he gave us a little litany of the gifts that God has given him. And along with that scripture, through it all, he's seeking the Lord with his whole heart to glorify Christ in the ministry the Lord's given him. It's wonderful.
And that's where we turn to you, dear friend. And remind you that God has blessed you and imparted to you certain gifts, certain talents for you to develop. And he's brought people around you, maybe even bringing you around others to help build them up as well. Well, a special time with Jesse Joyner. In fact, inspiring words from Jesse Joyner. You can find out more about him at jessejoyner.com. My friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, look, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support, to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. I thank you in advance. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jesse Joyner, jessejoyner.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just